Blog Talk Radio.
This is Julia Whitup with Talk Story Radio, and I have with me this morning Nancy Rothner, who is going to be talking about using hypnotherapy for mainly for reducing stress, right, Nancy?
Yes, absolutely. Hypnotherapy can be applied in a myriad of possibilities. However, stress seems to be at the cornerstone of so many behaviors. So when we address our attention into stress relief, it tends to be able to have somewhat of a domino effect to be able to help in many different levels.
Yeah, I guess it would. Stress and anxiety.
Absolutely. And I've had many clients, for instance, that where and how one experiences stress, it's almost, I'd say, collective in that if you're in this country and if you're turning on the news, you're likely to feel stress from that. Or if you're just even driving down the street with the traffic and honking and deadlines and multitasking, you're likely to find stress from that. So it's not as if someone has to be going through a particularly difficult chapter in life to experience stress. I almost feel as if it's more part of every person's everyday life that we need to manage. And in fact, I almost feel as if the lifestyle itself, especially with the addition of these electronic devices that are more and more of today's modern age society, that didn't exist generations ago. So therefore, our ancestors once upon a time most likely had far less stress on a regular basis the way we do now, and that we're constantly, seems like 24/7, on the go and in this multitasking world.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I just had to buy a smartphone because I couldn't keep up with my stupid phone.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the rate in which technology continues to elevate and change is just nonstop. So, yes, I've definitely seen an epidemic in stress, and actually I believe statistics are that in general in the last 10 years, and I'm not sure exactly where I have this information, but definitely in the last 10 years, I believe they say the stress level collectively has risen about 30%. Across the board, that when people are polled, that's how they are appearing to feel or what they are reporting.
Huh.
Yeah.
30% over what it used to be. I don't know.
Yeah.
It seems like my whole life's been stressful.
I wanted to
mention to our listeners, if you want to call in and ask Nancy a question, the call-in number is 929-477-3592. We'll just go on forward with the show, but call in if you'd like to ask a question. So, what is hypnotherapy, Nancy, just for people who might be listening and don't know?
That's a wonderful question, and it's something that I'd say just about every client that comes to my office has that same question, so I'm really glad you asked. There are, within the field of hypnotherapy, really what it is we're just utilizing a very effective area that we all go in, and that's just being in more of a relaxed and focused state. And very often when we have our habits, our go-to reflexes, things that we do very often well, it's more on this deep, relaxed, focused state, or either otherwise known as the subconscious state. That's where so much of our behaviors and our actions and our feelings are all stored. So within hypnotherapy, we're often just kind of guiding someone into a more relaxed, focused state to be able to be integrated more at a subconscious level, which is more of an autopilot or habits lie level.
Mm-hmm. So if you have a habit that you don't want to have, like smoking.
Right. And I've worked with that, can't even tell you how many times. Typically, there's a few things happening when someone is, say, stuck in the habit of smoking. Typically, someone will say on a conscious, say, beta brainwave level, which is our everyday active thinking mind at a beta brainwave level, they'll say, okay, they want to stop smoking. I want to stop smoking. The issue tends to be, however, that at a deeper subconscious level, more at an autopilot level, down in the theta brainwave level, which is very relaxed but not quite yet asleep, down there is where the reflex, the autopilot condition response to smoking is. So what happens is when someone is kind of stuck in the habit of smoking, they think, you know, on one level they want to stop it, and they're thinking it at a conscious level. However, down at a subconscious level and with thousands and thousands of repetition and therefore muscle memory is the habit. And so very often it can be difficult to undo the momentum of the habit. And this, in my opinion, is where hypnotherapy is so valuable, is it helps take a thought that's up at the conscious beta brainwave level deeper so it can be more at, say, an equal level and be instilled more to subconscious level. And then when people come in for smoking, another thing that I'm always working with them is very often how we focus our attention and the thoughts that we have around something really are related to our responses to that substance. For instance, the way a non-smoker would think in relationship to smoking, they have innate reflexes where they just are having this place of no desire and they have no interest in smoking whatsoever. Very often when people come in and they are still in this mindset of smoking, they think from a totally different perspective. And so what I'm often doing with people is kind of helping, say, stretch their mind and helping kind of guide them to be able to think and perceive and be in a different relationship with the idea of smoking. So when they're thinking from a different aspect, dropping the behavior becomes so much easier. Any non-smoker has no desire to smoke, so what I'm looking to do with a smoker, shifting them from a way of thinking as a smoker would think, more over to shifting them to think as a non-smoker would think, once they're over thinking as a non-smoker, it's so much easier, again, to just let the habit go and be done.
Now, I'm thinking, one of the things that you've invented, the pinch me dough, that would probably be helpful for breaking the muscle memory. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, it can be used in so many different ways, but absolutely. What's going on with the dough, how it came to be actually, is I've had thousands of clients over several years now, and I've loved the work in the office. However, I wanted to try to find a way to be able to connect with people that aren't coming into the office. Not everybody has the time or the luxury to come in and work with somebody one-on-one. So I wanted to be able to reach people there. And so I've taken some of the components of what I found to be the most effective in the office and packaged it up there. So as far as how Pinch Me can be helpful in breaking a habit, it's got a few different components simultaneously triggered within the user. First component is that of scent. Anytime we are connecting with a scent that we find enjoyable, it has a deep and powerful impact on us. We can all be transported back into time, say back into childhood easily, if we have a scent that reminds us of an earlier experience. And also, since it's stored so deeply, it gets us so in sync. And the other thing is, when we are around a scent that we like, it shifts the way we breathe. And so we have the breath changing as well. And then additionally, by bringing our attention to our fingers, to our hands, that acts as a very fast catalyst to get the quadrants within the brain all unified and in sync and on the same page. So even though it seems like a very simple act, it's bringing strategically our focus into a completely different level. One of the ways in which Pinch Me came to be, I actually somewhat discovered this by accident. It was, I'd say, one of the most fascinating moments I've had in this office. It completely surprised me. I had a client come in, and it was our very first appointment. She was completely overwhelmed with life, stressed out beyond belief. And she started to cry profusely, stood up, started to pace back and forth, and hyperventilate. And I thought it was very likely that she would faint, and I needed to do something quickly, abruptly, to recalibrate her so she didn't pass out. And so I had a bottle of a very pleasant-smelling vanilla in my desk drawer. And so I quickly grabbed that bottle of vanilla out of the drawer, and I said, here, almost in an emergency sort of way, I said, here, breathe this. And she looked at me very confused with all the tears coming down her eyes, and she had this first breath with kind of all the gasping and whatnot as she breathed the vanilla, and then the second breath, she took another breath, and honestly, by the second breath, she was out of that panicked, tearful frame of mind. It's as if the scent was able to override and interrupt the emotion. She couldn't breathe. She could, the same way she did before she had the vanilla. The vanilla forced her body to breathe in a very open and expansive rhythm, in complete contrast. It was amazing. I honestly, and she looked at me and said, "What just happened?" And I was just as perplexed. The scent put the brakes on it so fast. And so I found very often when I introduce scent into someone who's in an unresourceful frame of mind, they can't stay unresourceful. It will overpower and speak on a different level. Another fascinating story, again, this is one of these moments in life that I'll never forget. This one blew me away. Had a client who had a really unusual phobia, and it was all women with long, dark hair. And it was so bad, I couldn't even say long, dark hair. If I did, it would trigger a feeling within him that he'd want to vomit. So it was very intense, and I had to be very careful in the way I'd speak. Fortunately, my hair is light enough that my hair didn't trigger him. So he would experience life that if he'd walk down a street and there would be someone with long, dark hair coming towards him, he'd have to cross to the other side of the street. And as it turns out, everybody in his family, his mom, sisters, cousins, aunts, all of them had long, dark hair. And so for years, he had not been able to get closer to any family member than about 10 or 12 feet away. And he came in because he wanted to get over this fixation about the hair to be able to hug his mom. But he was stuck. He had this phobic fixation on this long, dark hair and couldn't get past it. And so I was thinking, okay, we need something to override, something to interrupt, something to get him into a better frame of mind. In his case, once again, a scent that I use quite a bit in this office is vanilla. Vanilla invoked for him a feeling of warmth, comfort, calm, safety. He felt as if he was wrapped in a security blanket. And that's the exact feeling he needed to have to be able to overcome the feeling around this long, dark hair fixation. So we kept doing exercises, weaving in vanilla in all these different ways, kept changing up the way he was bringing vanilla to the forefront and then giving much less space in his mind for the fixation on the hair. We kept reemphasizing vanilla, strengthening that, and therefore lessening the old. And then as it turns out, once we were able to bring more and more of our focused attention on breathing vanilla, it would get to the point that he could even imagine as if he was breathing in vanilla, therefore feel the feelings as if, even if he didn't have it. And so the net result was he walked out of his office and hugged his mom, and the whole thing was done.
Wow.
So it's really all scent. So never, in my opinion, what I've seen, the longer I do the work, the stronger my conviction grows. We have so many abilities within us that are untapped to be able to quickly and effectively shift the way we feel from the inside. We just don't necessarily always have the most efficient awareness or roadmap of how to access that. And so that's really the brainchild or the inspiration behind Pinch Me. Is it has within it so many of these components woven into it. So that's kind of where that came to be.
Now, how would a person use that on their own without your guidance, though?
As far as the scent or Pinch Me?
Well, yeah, Pinch, all of it.
Oh, it can, okay. Well, Pinch Me can be, what I love about it, honestly, is it can be used without much thought or focus. My husband happens to keep a container in front of his computer, and he just likes to knead and play with it in his fingers when he's on the computer. I keep a container on my nightstand, and at night, say if we've got the TV on, I like to just mold little shapes into the dough. It's just a fun thing. I've actually had people who have had the tendency to want to nibble and munch at night, and they'll have, you know, a little tension or anxiety in their system, and they're therefore looking to alleviate it via cookie or something like that. So the Pinch Me has actually been very effective there. My son, who happens to be 18, he takes his Pinch Me in his backpack to school, and when he's studying, he uses it. My daughter, she's a senior in college, and she said during finals week, everybody wants to use Pinch Me. So there's a lot of different ways. I guess what I love about it is you don't have to focus so much attention on it. You can just play with the dough, and the scent is going to shift the way you breathe. And just by bringing your tactile awareness into your fingers, it's going to kind of get your brain more in sync and on the same page. So it does a lot of the work for you without you even having to give it much thought. And that's another advantage I find to using any scent, is that if you're focusing on this, if you just breathe the scent, it's going to recalibrate you.
If it's even without you having any guidance around what it is you're
right.
Stressed about.
Right. I had somebody, and the way I look at it too with Pinch Me, I certainly don't want to overstate. I'd say if somebody's working and they have, say, with a mental health professional, certainly, you know, continue to do that if you have issues that are going on. I've always said it can help reduce and aid the stressors in life, but I would not expect it to take everything away. So it's definitely going to just be more of an aid. I did, however, have somebody, and I said this is not something to take away all painful emotions, but to simply ease the rough spots in life. And I had someone use it in a way that I certainly would not have thought of. And she had come back from a funeral, actually, and she was so upset and just tears and distraught and feeling overwhelmed with emotions. She grabbed it me and she said it helped her. And I never would have thought it being applied in that way. So there's so many different applications. It's just a fun thing to help get the system cleared and de-stressed quickly. And you don't have to put a lot of thought into it. You can actually even be multitasking. You can be on the computer or watching TV.
Huh. Okay. And, wow, I can't believe how fast the time flew. Okay. And where can people buy this?
Easiest way is on my website, and that is pinchmedough, spelled D-O-U-G-H, .com. There's also a phone number, which is 1-800-331-5785, where they can call if they have questions or would like to place an order that way.
Okay. Wow, that sounds very interesting. So tell us a little more about hypnotherapy.
Sure. Hypnotherapy, there is so much out there that I completely understand is confusing and probably even scary for a lot of people. And I will say my particular approach, and there are so many different styles and approaches within the field of hypnotherapy, my style is very gentle, it's permissive, and it's all about getting people more in sync and in just a nice, balanced, flowing zone within their body. On the other side of the spectrum, there would be people that have an opposite style, and that would be more of a stage hypnotist, and their style is more direct, authoritarian, and controlling. And that style is extremely powerful for these stage shows for entertainment, and it's typically, for most people at the stage shows for entertainment, about 10% of the population that would be susceptible to that very direct, authoritarian, controlling type of talk. 10% of the population is known to be natural somnambulists, where the hypnotist can, for that short period of time, kind of trick them, and where they imagine all these scenarios, even though they're not real, they feel it as if it's real. That's just, but that also, I will say, tends to invoke a great deal of fear within many people. That's only a small percentage of the population. 90% of the people are on the other side, and I'm in that 90%, where there is a natural resistance to be spoken to in a way that is so authoritarian and commanded over. Most people are going to resist. Actually, just a few months ago, there was the amazing Kreskin, if you remember him, long time ago, he was used to be on the Johnny Carson show, and he was huge once upon a time in this world. And he came into our area, into our town, late in the summer, and we went to a show just for fun. And my friends, of course, prompted me to get up on stage and to be part of the show. And so it was the last thing I was expecting, and I went up on stage and kind of wondered, oh, gee, how's this going to go? And I absolutely had zero response to his suggestions, like not even a slight bit of going under his spell. So 90% of the people would be where I am. And so in that, that's the way I process. I find it so important when people come in that I'm working with them in a way that's just very gentle and very comfortable. All I am is a guide. And I always kind of let people know or tell them if they want to go in a different direction, just speak up, let me know. If they have questions, interrupt. So it's anything but what they see on these stage shows.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think I'm resistant because I've noticed that with salespeople. I'm immediately resistant if they start trying to manipulate me. I really just don't like that. I just have to have a regular conversation or my barriers are up.
Absolutely.
Do you do hypnotherapy by phone or Skype or anything like that?
I do by phone, and oddly enough, most of the appointments are in person in the office. However, I have had some wonderful experiences working over the phone. In fact, just recently, I heard back from someone. I've never met her before. She just found me out of the blue, and I have no idea how. She lives in Chicago, and I'm nowhere near Chicago. And she even called me for an unusual issue that I typically don't work with. But it was kind of an unfamiliar experience for me as well. However, we worked beautifully, and I just heard back from her that this lifelong debilitating phobia is completely resolved. So yeah, phone can work. What it does require with the phone is I'm in a very quiet, undisturbed office. There's nobody coming through this room. You know, it's just silent, and 100% of my focus is on the phone and on listening to the client. On the other end, if a client were to, you know, be calling and we wouldn't be meeting in person, I would need that same type of atmosphere on the other side, so neither one of us pull our attention away. And in so many cases, it really, and I was so surprised, but it is the way it typically goes, it's no different than being in person. It requires both of us to have a very focused state when working together. And I've actually found that even with this most recent client, the subject matter in which we were talking about, it was somewhere along in the intimacy department, was so personal and would probably be so difficult to talk to in person that I almost feel that the phone was a good buffer that she could feel more comfortable sharing. So I feel that the phone even helped us that way. And I've had many clients who I've initially worked with here in person, then they move away and they want to continue, and then we start to work via the phone, and it works just the same.
It might help, too, to be in your own home, in your own surroundings.
Sure. Yeah,
so
as long as we don't have a dog,
you
know, barking through the room, yes.
Yeah,
home undisturbed can be a great place, yeah, where someone can feel very safe and secure. And I'm sure I really do applaud when my clients come in and they just spill it. It is a vulnerable, scary experience to come in face-to-face and tell someone, and you know, to talk about these areas that are so challenging. So, yeah, in some ways, I believe you're right, that home could make it more comfortable.
Okay, well, our time is almost up now. Could you tell us how people could get a hold of you if they wanted to explore that?
Oh, sure. There's two ways. My phone number here at the office is 302-644-2400. Also, I have a website. Must admit, it needs to be updated. It's been up for several years, but somewhat of an older version website is coastalhypnotherapy.com.
Okay. That's coastalhypnotherapy.com.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. And
oh, thank you, Julia. It's been an absolute pleasure. And I just love sharing what I believe in and appreciate the opportunity to be with you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks.